Hana.
Hello.
Hi. Has he
How
not
are
come
you?
on? I'm sorry, has he not come on yet?
No, he hasn't come out yet.
Okay. He might be sleeping, preparing for tonight. Let's see, maybe I can call him by Uvu. I'm on a house phone, so I'm not where I can get to a cell phone. Let's see if I can find my Uvu here. I don't know how to do it on this computer. I don't know. It's asking me to sign up. I have no idea what it's doing. It doesn't look like it normally does. Now it's frozen, so I guess we'll wait a little while. I have 10:05, so he's 5 minutes late. We'll give him a few more minutes and we'll telephone him. I'll go in the other room and call.
Oh, okay.
I think I'll go ahead and call him now. And I have to leave the room. I'm going to leave this phone open, so if he comes on, I won't know it till I get back. I'm going to put it down and go do that. Okay.
Okay, that sounds good.
Good evening. I'll be starting in about 3 minutes.
Hello?
Oh, Hannah said she's going to start in 3 minutes.
Okay, well, I'm not getting anything from his phone number, so let me go back to the other room.
Okay.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
It was strange, the phone didn't ring, but I could hear you on the other phone, so maybe I have to hang this one up and then call. Let me do that.
Okay.
Okay. Hana.
Good evening. I'm sorry for the late start. Please join me in saying the Anabakoah. Anabakoah. Counting of the Omer and the holiday of Shavuot. Vayehino Amadonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Adenu Kunanei Aleinu Maasei Adenu Kunanehu. Demare Kabbalah Umare Midot Inun Mistar De Ilana Dechayesh Seir Ama Mesitra De Ilana De Togara Asur Vechater Uginda Min Habahema Mayakal Dilfon Omer Lechem Sheorim Vyamar Sheorim Vyashet Alecha Oraita Div Alpe Deshit Titre Mishneh Aval Ilain Ilana Dechaye Inun Adam Oraita Dilfon Nachama Deku Chabarifu Ahidiktiv Lechu Lechamu Vilach Mi Vechainu Shitech Elechem Chadu Kuhu Itanain V'amorain V'amru Man Ka'em Kame Sinai. The Kabbalah masters and men of qualities who are devoted to the qualities of Zeranpin, derived from the aspect of the tree of life, which is Zeranpin, called man. The rest of the people are from the side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which are the permissible and the forbidden. This is the angel Memtet, who is so called. He is a chariot to Malchut, called second, and includes the four holy living creatures. Therefore, those of the cattle eat an omer of barley bread. As written, he measured six measures of barley and laid it on her. This is the secret of the oral Torah of the six orders of the Mishnah. But those from the tree of life, the Kabbalah masters, are men, whose Torah is the bread of the Holy One, blessed be he, namely the food of Zeranpin that is called man or mana. This is the meaning of come, eat of my bread, namely the two loaves of bread. All the Tanaim and the Amoraim rejoiced and said, who can stand before Sinai? Namely before Re'aya Mehemna, who is called Sinai. Re'aya Mehemna is Moses, the faithful shepherd, who also is called Sinai. Just as the sages are called by the names of the books that they wrote, B'nai Yisachar, Chesed Abraham, and others of the Kabbalistic books. Moses is called Sinai because the Torah was given at Sinai. Does anybody have any questions? Chag Sameach, everyone. I hope you're well.
Yes, thank you.
Chag Sameach.
I've reset the controls so that you can just speak out. You don't have to press star 6 anymore. So I apologize for that. I thought it was set that way, but it obviously wasn't. And thank you for your wishes for the good holiday. Tonight's class is our 11th class in the Advanced Reincarnation Series. And we are reading from the same handout that we used last week, www.yeshem.com/Kabbalah-Reincarnation7.htm. There's a hyphen between each word, Kabbalah hyphen Shavuot, excuse me, advanced hyphen reincarnation hyphen 7, the number 7, dot htm. And you need to scroll down about halfway, and you'll find a section that says Additional Blemishes, Chapter 3, Section 3. And this we went over briefly last week, so I think it's maybe even further down. Yes. It's Chapter 3, Section 4 that we need to start. Halfway. Ibur from birth. Before I start, does anybody have any questions? And I'll let people have a chance to get to where they're going. Some reincarnate to become rectified, but they are not entirely careful. And sin, such a spark will become immersed again in the Klipot, with all the minor sparks that derive from it and depend upon it. There are major sparks and minor sparks. The major sparks are composed of many minor sparks. They may reincarnate all together in one Gilgul, or they may separate into many Gilgulim. My commentary. There needs to be much more discussion about the idea of major sparks and minor sparks, and how a major spark's mistake causes the minor sparks to fall with him, just as Adam's sin causes all of humanity to fall. This is due to Adam being the major spark and every human being since then being a minor spark. Spark of light is a difficult idea to define and to understand. Do you have any questions at this point? It's a very difficult concept to understand. The idea that each soul is a spark of something else, another soul, a larger soul. I can use the term capacity, but that's not even a correct designation, and it's going to tend to confuse you because you're thinking in terms of physicality. You can have 100 teapots. Some of them have larger capacities, some of them have smaller spouts. The rate at which the teapot can be filled varies from one teapot to the next. The capacity of the teapot varies. The rate it fills it varies. The essence of the teapot changes. Some are made of brass. Some are made of copper. Some are made of stainless steel. This is all of these concepts are relating to minor sparks and major sparks. What are we considering here is an intermediate case that includes both Gilgul and Ibur. Now I'm going to define Gilgul. By now you should know the word Gilgul represents reincarnation. It represents the soul coming into the body and staying in the body until, God forbid, the body dies and the soul leaves. Although the cause of the body dying is the soul leaving, not the soul leaving because the body died. I want you to think about that. Always remember, even as much as we consider cause and effect, the cause has to be spiritual and never physical. The Arizal, Rabbi Isaac Luria, is now going to describe the intermediate case of an Ibur from birth, which is in some respects like Ibur and in some respects like Gilgul. And please forgive me, I didn't finish defining Ibur. Ibur is the assistance of a soul that comes into the body but can leave at any time. It's not stuck in the body lifetime, day after day, until the body dies. It leaves when it wants. It leaves when the job is done. Like an angel who's given one task. And when that task is done, it returns to its home. Sometimes that angel gets stuck on earth because there's only certain times when the taxi is, or the bus is ready to take it off the earth, take it up to the next level. And that's what happened to the angels that were involved with Sodom and Gomorrah. They had to wait around for a number of years in this earth because they were late getting to their bus. That's a midrash, of course. Maybe it didn't happen. We'll find out when we resurrect the dead and talk to all these people. The Arizal is going to describe the intermediate case of an Ibur from birth, which is in some respects like Ibur and in some respects like Gilgul. There are parts of souls that reincarnate and come to a person when he is born, as is the case in Gilgul. However, they have already been rectified, as in Ibur. And like Ibur, they can reap reward from mitzvot that are done in this person's lifetime, but do not suffer guilt from sins that may be committed. Thus, they are in the intermediate category. Reincarnation has the effect of positive actions and negative actions. And a boor has no effect from a negative action. That's the metaphorical statement of they can leave the body. Of course, they can leave the body in a general sense. But the real essence of that is they do not have the effect of negative actions. They do not suffer chaos. Now, this discussion is about a soul that doesn't have the effect of negative actions, but came at birth, at the same moment that the reincarnated soul entered the body. Another soul came and joined it and participates in all of its actions through most of its lifetime, if not all of its lifetime. But it never has the effect of any negative actions of that person. Only the positive ones. And by participating in the positive mitzvot and receiving the effect of the positive, the result is it gets elevated to a higher place within the heavens. Something to contemplate. The reason for this phenomena is that there are two types of blemishes resulting from sin. As a consequence of serious sin, which will be explained later on, the soul sparks are severely blemished. They undergo Gilgul, reincarnation. However, the result of less serious sin is a less serious blemish and does not necessitate a Gilgul. A soul may reincarnate, achieve extensive rectification, but nevertheless remain somewhat blemished because of some light sins that were committed during the Gilgul. These parts of the soul that are for the most part but not completely rectified will reincarnate again at the time of birth and remain with the person until the end of his lifetime, as in Gilgul. However, as in this case, they will reap reward for mitzvot, but will not suffer guilt from sins that may be committed as an ebur. It is these parts of the soul, those which are less seriously blemished, that constitute the intermediate category undergoing ebur from birth. In essence, God has created a system that all possibilities exist. And there's always a right, a left, and a center, a balance point. There's reincarnation, there's ebur, and there's an aspect of both. And what's you skipped over, you didn't hear the words because we're human. It also said parts of a soul. I've said it before, but let's understand this parts of a soul. I have an arm. I have two arms, a right and a left arm, thank God. I have an elbow. I have two elbows. My elbow is part of my arm. Those are parts of my body. Well, those, each one of those parts has a soul. And that soul, the combination, the complement of every one of the soul parts of the of this body is what makes up Hanoch, the soul called Hanoch. But each one of those sparks, each one of those parts can activate the whole body. I do have 613 parts, but I don't necessarily need 613 parts to be resurrected. The soul parts, when they are corrected, I've done something, I'm not going to go into details about it because I thought, not really thinking straight tonight. Thank God, because it's Shavuot and the energy is flowing in. But let's say my elbow is corrected. I've achieved tikkun for my elbow. Tonight when I would go to sleep, although I won't go to sleep tonight, but tomorrow night when I go to sleep, the part of the body, part of the soul that is the elbow, will not return in the morning. A new part of another spark of the soul will come as the elbow. And when enough parts change, enough parts complete, and the composite of all of these 613 parts make up something that has a significantly distinctive desire to receive, I will have feel a need to change my name. The sparks of the nefesh do not separate from one another until the day of death. All the sparks of the nefesh, even those that have already rectified, return in a complete Gilgul at the time of birth with the individual spark that was damaged. They do not separate from one another until the day of death. In this case, in this situation, the Ari is telling us that the nefesh is always unified. That it's not a nefesh that changes. what I described to you doesn't happen with the nefesh, but it does happen with the ruach and the neshama. All the sparks of the nefesh, both those that have been almost completely rectified, retaining only a light blemish due to a light sin, and those that have been only slightly rectified, return at the time of birth with those soul sparks that have been severely damaged and will require extensive tikkun in this lifetime. Since they arrive at the time of birth, they are all similar to a complete Gilgul. However, the rectified sparks reincarnate as an Ibur. So the Nefesh has these two aspects. Has parts of the soul coming in as a full Gilgul, a full reincarnation, and it can receive the negative effect of negative actions. And other parts of that soul will not receive the negative effect of negative actions. But they are always together. They don't exchange themselves. They come in at birth like a Gilgul, and they remain until death like a Gilgul. In other words, the above-mentioned almost completely rectified sparks reincarnate as an Ibur from birth. The reason it is called Ibur is as follows. They do not share in the sins of this body, only the merits. It is similar to the souls of righteous tzaddikim who have died and come as an Ibur during a person's lifetime, but not at birth. Even though the almost completely rectified sparks have to return with the damaged ones, they only benefit from the reincarnation. Thus, a spark that was not rectified whatsoever by the performance of those mitzvot to which it is related, or has not been rectified by, as a result of transgressing those sins for which there is no revival, must reincarnate into a second body, which will be named for that spark. That spark's name is the essence of the Gilgul that is happening, like the name of any given thing describes the essence of that thing. The Gilgul reincarnates into a body for the sake of the tikkun of those soul sparks that have been severely damaged or not rectified at all. Therefore, that particular birth will be called by the name of those sparks that must undergo extensive tikkun. My commentary. When a person passes, they are asked, "What is your name?" This name that is being asked is the spark's name, not the name used by the person in this world. This spark's name must be discovered in the process of soul growth and tikkun. How to do this is covered in the tikkun information available for each individual and for which we are hoping to automate the system when we have sufficient donations to pay for that. Continuing, however, sparks that have achieved rectification through the performance of mitzvot and have also been blemishing and have also been blemished through the transgression of light sins only reincarnate as an Ibur of the sort mentioned previously, an Ibur from birth, even though it is also a Gilgul. They are an Ibur that must come back at birth, but they are not the main soul of the body in which they find themselves. It is because they are not the main soul of the body that they are an Ibur. They are a Gilgul because they come at the time of birth. In contrast, There are sparks that have not been blemished through sins after having been rectified by mitzvot. These sparks have been fully rectified and are not blemished whatsoever. They do not return at all except as an ibur during the lifetime. And then only if he merits it, as was explained before. Does anyone have any questions? We are now going to go through a summary and a completion of this discussion. Chapter 3, Section 5. Thus, what we have learned from the previous section is as follows. The main part of the Gilgul associated with the body is specifically that part which was damaged. The other parts of the soul previously rectified in other reincarnations only return as aspects of Ibur. When the part which is associated with the body performs a mitzvah, in this world, the other parts share a portion of the mitzvah, since they have assisted in the performance of the mitzvah. As explained earlier, concerning the soul of a righteous tzaddik that comes as an ibur, since they only come to assist for the sake of good, they do not share the punishment when the main nefesh transgresses. When a person reincarnates, the entire nefesh returns. However, the essence of the Gilgul is only the part that sinned in a previous body and returns to become rectified. It is associated with the body, and reward and punishment are applicable to it. However, the rest of the nefesh takes part in the reward, but not in the punishment. Now the nefesh in its entirety suffers and receives punishments in the existing body. Besides what was suffered by the sparks in previous bodies, and it will suffer as well the pain of death and the pain of what comes after death. Consequently, there is atonement for the earlier sins, the earlier light sins. Moreover, though through the mitzvot of previous Gilgulim and the present one in which they have a portion, as we have said, the tikkun of the nefesh becomes complete. In this respect, the comparison between the mostly rectified parts of the soul that come as an ibur from birth and the soul of a righteous tzaddik that comes as a normal ibur ceases. For a soul of a righteous tzaddik, the ibur is not meant to act as a cleansing process. It just increases its own merit by the ibur, but it assists the person in which the ibur is occurring. However, by the case of ibur from birth, the mostly rectified parts of the soul need the ibur to complete their atonement and their tikkun. However, if they had a portion in the present sins as well, there could never be tikkun for the nefesh. A person usually sins, and this would only add sin to sin, and there would be no end to it. If the mostly rectified sparks had a portion in the sins of the non-rectified sparks, then it would hamper progression towards tikkun, because previous tikkunim would be canceled out by future sins of other sparks. Through reincarnation comes completion. For all the sparks from the head of the nefesh to its feet. However, since the rest of the nefesh does not share responsibility in the evil of the spark, only in its merits, sins can be atoned for and not increased. new merits can be added through each Gilgul. There can be a conclusion to the cycle of reincarnation and tikkun for the nefesh. Understand this well. In this way, the nefesh achieves completion. In all its sparks, through reincarnation, completion is achieved for all the sparks from the head of the nefesh to its feet. This refers to the beginning of the discourse in section 2. The sparks of the nefesh from the head to the feet are the sparks of the soul body of Adam HaRishon. Each generation is destined to rectify the selection of sparks associated with it until the tikkun of the whole is completed. Once the feet are reached, then Mashiach will come, as it says in the Zohar, in Parashat Pekudei, and the end of Parashat Vayechel. In the age of Mashiach, there will be no more need for Gilgulim. Mankind will be fully rectified and will have merited the appearance of the greatest soul of all, the soul of Mashiach, the Keter of human souls. My commentary. This technique of Ibur from birth is what allows the nefesh to remain unified, which allows it to protect itself from the scourges of the negative actions that people do. It is only through God's mercy and his creation of this system that tikkun is allowed to complete itself and ultimately to manifest the Mashiach soul. This is a somewhat short class today, which is clearly can be understood because of what was going to take place tonight. But does anybody have any questions? Do you have any Ibors from birth within you? Do you need to know this answer in order to achieve your tikkun? These are questions that people need to be thinking about. I wish you all a Chag Sameach, a happy holiday, and I will see you, hopefully, or speak to you all at midnight West Coast time in 3 hours. Any final questions before? You're very welcome. Have a beautiful evening. Rest well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.